Thank you, Colm and Audrey. You're listening to RTE Junior Radio, and we're coming to you live from Studio One here in Dublin. I'm Ian McGlynn, and I'm very excited to be here this afternoon because we're going to hear the story of the Happy Prince in a new version told with words and music by Little John Nee and Vincent Kennedy. So, here I am in a studio, all by myself. Okay, so maybe I'm not quite all by myself. If you're watching the video, you'll see that there's actually a lot of people in the studio. There's a big group of very excited musicians down in front of me, and we've a lovely group of singers behind me. They all got up at 5 o'clock this morning to come here to perform for us today. So please give a big round of applause to the Donegal Youth Orchestra and Choir. And if you're listening at home, you'll just have heard thunderous applause from our live studio audience. And they've come into us from Skultrasa in Firhouse in Dublin. So a big round of applause for everyone in Skultrasa. And, of course, we must say hello to everyone who's listening to RTE Junior Radio at home, or maybe you're listening at school. We didn't want anyone to miss out, so you can listen on a digital radio, you can listen on Serviu, on the RTE Radio Player, or you can watch it as it's happening on our website, rte.ie/junior. So no matter where you're listening from, we're delighted that you're with us today. Now, any teachers or parents who are listening in today, you might like to check out our teaching guide for the Happy Prince. If you visit rte.ie/junior, you'll find everything there that you need to get the most out of today's concert. And so to today's concert. Now, it's a very special story and told in a very special way using words and music. The Happy Prince is in fact the statue of a prince who's covered in gold and precious jewels. Now, the prince becomes friends with a little swallow, and together they set about helping some of the poor, sick, and hungry people that they see about them. It's a beautiful story, and it was originally written by one of Ireland's most famous authors, Oscar Wilde. But today, we're going to hear a new version of the story, told with music by the composer Vincent Kennedy and words by Little John Nee, who will also be telling us the story. So, please give a big round of applause to our performers this afternoon, our narrator Little John Nee, the Donegal Youth Orchestra, conducted by the composer Vincent Kennedy, the Donegal Youth Choir, directed by Sarah Loughlin, and the story of the Happy Prince.
Thank you. two of the most precious things I own. A heart made from tinfoil and a painting of a swallow. Given to me by two of my very best friends. Seesaw, age 7, and Peapod, age 10. I've known them since they're wearing nappies. They're going to kill me for telling you that. Their mother's been a friend of mine a very long, long time. So when she had to go to Dublin, she asked me to mind them. I said, no problem. It would be a pleasure. And the first snowflakes fall on the mountain, floating down in the moonlight. And soon Errigal Mountain wears a white cap, and a shawl of snowdrift is drawn over her shoulders. All Donegal snuggles beneath a duvet of fresh snow. And in the morning, children wake to find the world all white. No school! You're going to school. And school buses make slush of the snow. All day sitting in class, looking out through steamy glass. Can't wait to get home to build a snowman. And children of all shapes and sizes come home from school excited. It's that time of the day. And all over Ireland, children complain about having to do homework. But here's a happy thought. If it keeps snowing, there'll be no school tomorrow. Kitchen tables are cleared. Books and pencil cases are dug out from school bags. And snow falls on farmyards. Snow falls on tin sheds. Snow covers bicycles. Snow covers trampolines. And pussy cats and baby rats. And black-faced sheep with woolly coats. All hunkered down in sheltered spots. Ooh, it's cold, so it is. I stick on a frying pan to make some chips for tea. Will yous have some fish fingers, will yous? No, you can't play with your PlayStation till your homework's done. Well, if it's too hard, I'll help you. Ask me a question. What's 10 times 11? We'll look it up on the internet later. Help me lay the table. The chips is nearly ready. Where's the ketchup? That television's too loud. Turn it down. I don't care. Turn it down. Then the world went dark. What happened? Said Peapod. He was just after slamming the fridge door. His mother is always telling him, don't slam the fridge door. He figures he might be in trouble again. It might be a fuse, I say, because I'm always breaking things, so I think maybe it was me. I look out the window, and there's no lights on anywhere. And the phone rings. It's Granny. Her electricity is gone too. She said Mary next door to her was talking to someone who said that something slid in the snow. and crashed into something else. And there'll be no electricity till someone comes and fixes it. And Seesaw says there's a candle underneath the sink. Luckily, the chips are already cooked. And we have a candlelit dinner. We three friends, chips and fish fingers. It takes Peapod 27 seconds to finish his food. Can I have your phone for a minute? I need some light to turn on my PlayStation. I explain, there is no electricity. No PlayStation, no computer, no television, no dishwasher, no kettle, no central heating. Welcome to the Dark Ages. Put on your jumpers and coats. When I was a wee boy, to stay warm, we used to share the house with cows and pigs and goats. Come back, where are you going? Come back here. You're not bringing no animals into this house. I know I said that, but I was only joking. What'll we do? Said Seesaw. I'm bored, said Peapod. Is there such a thing as a book in this house? And Seesaw slinks off like a cat into the dark and comes back with a big book with a hardcover. I hold it up to the candle. The Happy Prince and Other Stories by Oscar Wilde.
I won it as a prize for writing a poem about the environment, she says.
I open it up at a random page where at the top it says, The Happy Prince. I think I better tell this story from memory. The Happy Prince, I'll tell it the way it was told to me by my great uncle George when I was a small boy. He once met Oscar Wilde at a train station in Stranorler. I know it sounds strange. I haven't a notion what great uncle George was doing in Stranorler. He seldom left the house, except for that one time he disappeared for 3 months, but that's another story. Anyway, this is the story of the Happy Prince as told to me by my great uncle George, as told to him by Mr. Oscar Wilde while waiting for a train in Stranorler. Where to begin? Let me see.
Hello. should go to Egypt town, and if you should look into the sky, up where the swallows swoop around and around, you might see a bird you recognize. For the swallow snatching flies near the river where you live, flies to Africa in September. But they get up to there is a mystery to me. Someone told me once, but I can't remember. Some swallows gather round to socialize. Has anybody here seen Jim from Gorta Hark? Says a tough old bird with a mouthful of flies. Jim from Gorta Hark won't be coming here no more. I heard that he got shot in Marseille town. That's not what I heard, said another little bird. I heard he fell in love and settled down. Then up piped his cousin with tears in his eyes. That's not the way it happened, but you're right. Jim won't be coming to Africa no more, 'cause Jim passed away last Friday night.
Remember that golden statue on the road down from Donegal? Well, Jim stopped off there about a week ago. Do you know, I think they call that statue the Happy Prince. They found his body there, lying in the snow.
Swallows gathered round, there were tears in all their eyes. Jim was a little crazy, but he was a friend. I wanted to know what happened that little guy. How did he come to such an end? And one lonely boy shouts,
the swallows all turned with withering looks towards a sneaky-looking swallow that was known for his devious character and his propensity for stirring things up. Something must have happened to him when he was an egg. One glance from the old fella chewing flies was enough to shut him up. And then the cousin said, "Well, I'm only going by what I heard. But Jim had been flirting with a reed up the river." We've all done it. But the way he was anyway, he set out late to catch up with the rest of us. And the birds all gathered round to listen. I heard it from a sparrow, who heard it from a blackbird, who heard it from an old homeless man, who saw it with his own two eyes. There is a city, a dirty city. somewhere between Africa and Dunluce. Now some cities eat up the countryside all around them, so great is the greed. But this city just keeps eating itself. This old city has seen it all before. And the streets are filled with all sorts of thieves, everyone looking to take what they can get, everyone hungry for more. But sometimes, when the police sirens fade, beneath the din of traffic and the whine of televisions, you can hear gentle words spoken. Beyond the badness of big business and the big business of badness, there are acts of kindness. And on the dirty stones, swallows swoop and sparrows rub their bellies in the dust. It's easy to say, too easy to say, and it's easy to see, this is a dirty place. But even here there is grace. There is no misery so great that this city cannot embrace it. And in this city, the setting sun sometimes bounces off a tarnished gold statue in the square and sends flashes of light into dark buildings. And this statue has stood here so long that most people have forgotten how there ever came to be a statue called the Happy Prince. I'll better tell you how there came to be a statue called the Happy Prince. Once upon a time, there was a happy prince. And why wouldn't he be happy? Born the way he was, into a world where everything he needed or wanted was gotten without effort. There's plenty born wealthy and miserable, bless them. But he wasn't one of those. He took his privilege graciously. He was happy being who he was. And everything he saw seemed to be in order. The servants seemed happy, and this made him happy. And the reason they were happy was because he was happy, and happiness is contagious. So be very careful. So when he died, the people decided to build a statue to keep the happy memory alive. And the spirit of the happy prince was too happy to leave this happy world. So his spirit stayed on and lived inside the statue, where he continued to be happy. But more and more his heart grew sore, seeing all the things he saw. And after a while, he didn't see any happiness in the city at all. All he saw was the hardship of the poor, and all he felt was sadness. And still people stopped to admire the happy prince. They didn't look into his eyes. They just looked at the sign down below that said, "The Happy Prince." And people believed what they read. And so it was on that autumn day that Jim the Swallow from Gortahort approached the town, swinging up, shooting down, cutting ribbons in the breeze. He just spent a week upriver, gallivanting, flirting and sky dancing. Met a reed. Around her, well, it made it hard to leave her. But he knew he had to catch up with the rest of the Swallow posse headed south. No problemo, he was the fastest. Like I say, he flew into town about tea time, decided it might be a good idea to rest his feet. And sometimes we don't even notice ourselves being drawn to hot, bright things. But of all the high places in that town, Jim chose to land on the head of the happy prince. Had a look around for cats, then swung down to the prince's golden feet. It was a nice place, a handy spot. Have an early night, get up in the morning, have a bath in that puddle over there, and away we go. Egypt, here I come. My, my, said a sad voice. You're a happy fellow. I am, said the swallow. I'm heading to Egypt in the morning. Sunshine and crunchy flying beetles. Have you ever been? You should go. Maybe you're right, said the prince. I could do with some cheering up. But I'm not going anywhere. They call me the happy prince. But honest to God, I get more miserable every day, looking at the suffering that goes on in this town. I hear you, said the swallow. But I try not to think about that stuff. When the going gets tough, I get out of here. It's like I'm being forced to look at all the things I didn't look at when I was a prince. In my position of privilege and power, I could have changed things. I'm just a bird, said the swallow. I just do bird stuff. I was wondering, said the prince, would you do me a favor? Flies are getting scarce, and a swallow has to eat. My friends are waiting for me at the tomb of Tutankhamun. You know yourself the way it is, a feast or a famine. Suppose, said the swallow, when you put it like that. He prized the ruby jewel from the hilt of the sword, and away he flew.
Fair play to you,
shouted the prince behind him. What a bird! Master of aerodynamics. Zipping up a narrow laneway. Looping round a chimney. Tearing past.
past the takeaway, he sees two young lovers sharing a bag of chips.
When I'm famous, I'm going to have a chip shop inside of my mansion instead of a kitchen. I hope that silly bitch has the sequins sewn in my costume by tomorrow for the auditions for X Factor on Friday. OMG.
And the swallow flew past the nightclubs and the department stores with the empty units. And up an alley, till he came to the house of the seamstress.